Word of God, a good friend of mine, a brother in the Lord that I love. Hallelujah. Bless you, my brother. Take your liberty.
Let the church say amen. Wow. You know, this coming year will make 30 years of full-time ministry that the Mills family has been singing,
amen,
and preaching and carrying the good news of Jesus Christ. And in those soon-to-be 30 years, we've been to a lot of places. Sister Teresa, some very large places, some medium-sized churches, some very small churches. But God honors one thing. He honors faithfulness. And that is my prayer, that we will continue to be faithful. But I say that not to try to impress you, but I just want to give honor to where honor is due here at the Westmoreland Church. Pastor, I've lost count of how many years that we've in a row that we've come and visited here at Westmoreland. But on the average year, we usually visit about anywhere from 90 to 110 different churches. I can't think of one. I can't think of one church that have shown love and favor and kindness to us more than the Westmoreland Church. You all have always been an encouragement to us, always been a blessing to us, especially here in December. And I just want to thank you. Whereas many churches don't invite musical guests or special guest speakers, I just want to give honor to whom honor is due, and I thank you for that. And your offerings today is going to feed the hungry Indian children. I'm going to let that sustain a moment. Mine, hungry Indian children. I've got two teenagers that have just graduated high school back in June, and they have just entered the community college and then going to transfer to the university. And I believe my son, he's on life support. That life support is called a refrigerator. Every few minutes, he goes back to it. I don't understand it. He goes there, and Brother Billy, 10 minutes later, Jamil hadn't gone to the grocery store and added to it, but 10 minutes later, he's back there looking as if it has miraculously created again. I covet your prayers. I'm very anxious to get into the Word of God. I've got a message that certainly is the Word of God, but perhaps one of the most unique messages that I've ever had the privilege to share. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with us, we'll stand in just a moment, but would you turn with us to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse 23. In a moment, we'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, but while you're turning to Proverbs 4 and 23, I've been blessed by the music of Pastor Ricky and Sister Darnell and the entire praise team. Didn't they bless our hearts this morning? Let's give them a hand of appreciation. God bless you. I tell you, Brother Ricky, you were hitting some notes on there. Had a little blues, had a little soul. I thought I was going to have to reel Jamil in. You get to hitting some of those notes, and you know how they do. Now, I've been here long enough, I can be myself. Is that all right? And Brother Nathan, God bless you. May God continue to bless your ministry with the young people here. You know, if we don't take time to encourage our young people, we can't criticize them if we don't take time to encourage them. We only want to stand back and criticize and point that finger, but let's encourage instead. Amen. And lastly, but certainly not least, Dr. Jerry Nelson, man of God, man of God. Very encouraging, always the same, always have an uplifting word for me, and we honor you. If you're physically able to stand, would you stand as we read the Word of God? If you found Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, if you found that, say, I've got it. Verse 23, it simply says, keep thy heart, and with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've got issues. You've got issues. That person sitting next to you, they might be dressed up and they've got their hair fixed up just right, but they've got issues. Ladies, that man that you married 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't have to tell you he's got issues. Ladies, I thought I would have got an amen on that. I set you up and you just left me hanging. But men, that dear young lady that you knelt down and asked her, would she marry you? Now it is 25 plus years later. You've learned she's got issues. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but the writer of Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep your heart. We're living in a world where everything, everyone is trying to hurt your heart. Guard your heart. As we bow our heads and go to our Lord in a word of prayer, I want to title this message, Heart Trouble. Heart Trouble. May we bow our heads. I'm going to ask my wife to lead us in prayer.
Dear God of heaven, we just said all your
thank you, God of heaven. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Stay true to your word and true to worship. God, we just ask you, God, right now to anoint my
I need your help today, God.
Father God, a lot of us are sitting here with heart trouble. A lot of us are sitting here with issues. But God, we know if we learn from your word today to guard our heart, those issues will change. Those issues will be different.
Hallelujah.
So I pray, God, that you would save the lost, that you would heal the sick, set free those that are bound, God. Save people, God. Fill people with the Holy Ghost today, God. And just remind us, God, what Christmas really is all about. We will give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Heart trouble. Now, I assure you, this is a Christmas message. I'm not beginning with a very familiar and a heart-touching text where shepherds are abiding in a field, or a young carpenter and took his betrothed wife to the census in Bethlehem. There was no room in the local Holiday Inn Express, and they found themselves in a manger. This is a little bit different, but you're going to see where I'm going with this. Heart trouble. On a physical side, my grandfather that I was very close to, and I think about him every year on Christmas Eve, especially because he died on Christmas Eve because of congestive heart failure, heart trouble physically. But I believe what threatens our life spiritually is heart trouble. I want to talk to you about a Christmas character that every year, Pastor Ricky, when I was a little boy, Christmas wasn't really Christmas until I saw two shows on TV. This is the day before Netflix and a Cartoon Network where you can just dial it up anytime, but you had maybe two or three channels, 5, 7, and sometimes 9 or 11. And you would take that old TV, and the antenna, the rabbit ears were long broken off, so you had to improvise, and you took a what? You took a metal coat hanger, and you put it in the top, and you had to shape it, and it looked kind of deformed. Brother Woody, that coat hanger was deformed back there, and you could get the channel, and I saw, first of all, as a child, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Can I get a witness? Now, maybe some of our younger children, that's days gone by. You haven't experienced that. But the next one I saw, and this is long before the revision, the movie came out a few years ago. But I'm talking about the animated, the cartoon version of How the Grinch stole Christmas. And the underlying story behind that is that the Grinch had heart trouble. We learned that his heart was, as the teller of that story, was two sizes too small. You ever seen somebody try to get in a suit? I've seen some men, they're reaching back to yesteryear, and it's two sizes too small. And the only one that's really deceived, but when our heart is too small, it affects those around us. It affects those that we love. Well, the Grinch hated Christmas. And as you know, the story tells that he wanted to ruin Christmas for everyone in Whoville. That's just a suburb right outside of Wilson. And because his heart was two sizes too small, and the Grinch thought that stealing all of their food, all of their presents, all of their decorations, that he would literally steal Christmas. That he would rob them of the joy. Of the peace, of the fellowship, and because if he took the tangible things. Now, I know I'm talking about a childhood, a memory of a cartoon, but let's equate that where we are today. Because there are factions, there are people that you're going to encounter, just like the Grinch, in a sense, that they're trying to take away the external things that rob you of your joy, your peace. And they think if they can separate you from what they perceive is really Christmas, that they will take your Christmas away. But can I tell you that a long time ago that God the Father sent his only begotten son to die at Calvary, but first he was born in a lowly manger. So it's not the beautiful decorations and we enjoy. It's not the fancy food nor feast that we delight ourselves. But it is the real meaning of Christmas. Everyone has a Grinch that tries to steal their joy. For some, it's, I guess, the commercialization of Christmas. It's for others, it's the stress of trying to get everything just right. Have you seen somebody and they're very detail-oriented and they want to get everything just right and you appreciate their passion for it? My mother was like that. She wanted everything just right. Pastor Jerry, my mother was an Inspector 12. Y'all remember that commercial years ago? And Brother Woody, Inspector 12, would come in there with the white glove. But she wanted everything just right to the point she stressed herself that she couldn't enjoy. For others, the Grinch is grief of who or what they've lost or what they wish they had. How many times, I remember growing up as a child when we would go back to school after Christmas break and everybody, the kids, you know, maybe I was in elementary school. I was going through the fourth grade for the fifth time. And all of the kids would ask each other, what did you get for Christmas? And some of the kids, they got these great big glorious gifts. And Mike, what did you get? I was ashamed. Maybe my parents weren't as wealthy or well-to-do as some others were. And even adults stress out over that because they wish they had what this one had. And in a sense, we will allow that Grinch to steal our Christmas. Can someone say amen? For many of us, we can be our own worst Grinch, letting our worry, letting our selfishness, letting our bad attitudes blind us to what Christmas really is. Just like the Grinch did. I mean, what do you think made his heart two sizes too small? He was green. So that means he was different. All of my adult life, especially since 9/11, I'm different. I'm Native American I'm on the tribal council of the Halawasaponi Indian tribe, but every time I go through an airport, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that gets randomly put out. Sir, would you like to go with us in the... No, no, whatever you need to do, let's do it right here. I was on a missions trip in Ecuador back in the summer. And as many of you know, Ecuador is a Spanish-speaking nation. And our translator, who spoke Spanish fluently, he was a tall white guy that had a heavy southern accent. Imagine me and him going to an Ecuadorian's house and knocking on the door, and I'm speaking perfect English, but Rick over here, he's speaking Spanish with a southern accent. Different. And sometimes if we're not careful, because something or someone is different, we'll allow the Grinch, our bad attitude, our inward lack of peace and joy, we'll allow it to rob and steal our Christmas. We know the Grinch. You remember that part in the Jim Carrey movie where the Grinch tried to shave himself to impress a girl? How many times have we tried to change ourselves externally, where on the inside is where the hurt really was? Where the Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, as Pastor has so eloquently told us, He's the only one that can make lasting change. If we invite Him into our hearts on the inward parts, it will affect the outer man or woman. Amen. So sometimes when we're having a hard time, we try this, it doesn't work. We try that, it doesn't work. And we get angry and we want everybody else to be miserable. How many of you have someone in your family like that? Now, some of you are scared to lift your hand because they're next to you. Some of the others won't lift your hand because you are that one. All the Who's in Whoville still continue to celebrate Christmas regardless of what they lost. The Grinch finally realized that Christmas was a whole lot more than gifts, more than feasts. You know, I'm always, as a child, I remembered, you know, that narrator, and he would read and he would talk about the when they're talking about the feast, right on down to the roasted beast. But the Grinch realized it was more than fancy decoration, more than fancy feast. And that made his heart grow 3 sizes. So if his heart was 2 sizes too small, and seeing how his bad attitude, his efforts at trying to steal Christmas, but he saw they still gathered around the tree. They still began to sing. They still had joy in their heart. And that story said that his heart grew 3 sizes. So he still have an enlarged heart and he's joyful. Now, nobody leaving here trying to say that Brother Mills has preached from the gospel of Dr. Seuss. Not at all. But I think it's very much a reality that some of us, we let circumstances rob us of the true meaning of Christmas. We let the stress, the commercialization, rob us of the true meaning of Christmas. It affects our heart. We have heart trouble. Can someone say amen? So when we remember what Christmas is really all about, we can silence any Grinch in our life. You get over stress. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And just pause a moment and think. Christmas is not about going to the mall. It's about Jesus going to the manger. Amen. You won't have to turn there, but Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 21, he tells that the angel tells Mary and Joseph that they will give birth to a son and his name will be Jesus, and because he will come and save us and save the people from all of their sins. This is what Christmas is really all about. God coming into the world in the form of a lowly babe. The Romans were expecting a revolutionary to come and try to overthrow the Roman government. But God, His ways are above our ways. He doesn't send an avenging army. He sends a baby. Not in a kingdom, but a baby in a manger. Taking that in, what God did for us, I believe it'll touch even the hardest of hearts. Make it grow three sizes and fill us with the joy that no Grinch could ever steal. So let me ask you this, church. What is your Grinch? And how do you plan to get rid of it? What are you going to do about it? You will encounter people at the mall. And you remember the day after Thanksgiving and they have Black Friday and it's the official open season. And people will literally hurt you to save an extra 10%. Don't let that Grinch steal your Christmas. It's not about a discount at Walmart. It's about a babe in a manger that comes to take away the sins of the world. Amen. I want to say this in closing. When you have heart trouble, and you won't have to turn to these scriptures, but Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also." The thing that you value the most, that's going to be what's near and dear to your heart. Over in Matthew 9 and 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts?" So you can try to dress it up with majestic words, but God knows what we're really like. When no one else is around, He knows the thought of our heart. And sometimes, all we can say, "Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer." One other verse of scripture, John 14 and 1. You know, many times we hear this in the context of a funeral setting, but he says here in John 14 and 1, "Let not your what? Heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So when you go to the mall, when you go to Target, you're going to be confronted with people whose hearts are troubled. They didn't get the best deal on what they wanted. They didn't get the discount on Black Friday and get the, so their hearts are troubled. And you may run into a Grinch or two, but John 14 and 1 says, don't let it trouble your heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. I come to take away the sins of the world, Jesus said. Ephesians 3 and 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, come on somebody, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. I've always admired this about Pastor Jerry. He's not ashamed of his faith. I remember one year, this is many years ago before I really got to know him well, Jamil and I and Sister Catherine were singing with us at the time, and we were singing at the Church of God State Camp Meeting there in Kinley. And the song, people were worshiping, and I saw this dignified-looking man. He had a sharp-looking suit on. I saw him literally running sprints around that altar. And the Lord was blessing him so good. And I said, "God has touched that man. Because he's not ashamed of where he is, what God has done for him." You may be sitting here today with heart trouble. I don't mean so much in the physical sense. You're already working on your to-do list of what you have to do tomorrow. And fellows, That's not even considering the honey-do list that the little wife is. Somebody say amen. Oh me. Oh my. And you're stressing out over it. Some of you are saying, Brother Mills, hurry up and finish preaching. I've got to get to the mall. You've got heart trouble. Take a moment and let the Lord calm your heart.
Preach.
Let him bring in the realization that what the joy of Christmas is really all about. The Grinch couldn't steal it. The devil can't take it.
Amen. Come on now.
But only God's Son can give it. Jamil, I want you to sing something for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. Oh, my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands, and I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you.
Congregation, would you stand with me, please?
Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm long keen to see your desires revealed in me.
Sing it with me, church.
Give myself away.
Sing that with me. And give myself away.
Fix my heart, Jesus.
Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me.
Listen, my life is not my own. To you.
I give myself to you.
Sing it with my life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, I want you to know that I'm mindful of the time. But if there's always been one thing that I've admired most about Westmoreland is you're more mindful of the spirit than you are of the time. I realize this message is a little different, perhaps a little humorous, but I believe the words are very pointed. Because some of us today we have heart trouble. We've got issues. Issues from our childhood. We've got people or factions in our life that's like the Grinch trying to steal our joy. We lie awake at night and we worry, we fret. We suffer from depression on Saturday and try to shout the victory on Sunday. Oh, I'm not saying that depression is not real, but what I am saying is that God's deliverance is also real. While heads are bowed and nobody looking around, I wonder if today, will there be one, will there be several that would say, Brother Mike, somehow, God in heaven knew I needed to hear this word. I know you're not talking about a little green furry man called the Grinch, but I've been dealing with things and people and issues in my life that's tried to rob my joy, that gives me heart trouble, spiritually speaking. And I want to ask you and Pastor Jerry and the church, would you pray for me that God would renew my strength and restore my joy and help me to guard my heart as the Word of God declares in Proverbs. While nobody's looking around, if that somehow describes your prayer request, I want you to slip your hand up. Amen, amen, amen. Heart trouble, amen. You're dealing with issues, you're dealing with circumstances. You're dealing with difficult people and you need God to just give you help. God to give you strength. God, you're dealing with issues that maybe something that happened years ago and it's still giving you heart trouble. God bless these hands. Hands are going up. Hands are going up.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. I believe if anything, it means you become a prime target because you are saved. Before we pray, would there be someone else that would say, Brother Mike, Pastor Jerry, I really have heart trouble because I don't know Jesus in the part of my sins. I go to church. I know how to say the right words. I know the Christmas songs as Pastor Ricky plays and sings it. But if the truth were known, there are things in my life I know it's not right. And before I leave Westmoreland Church today, I want to make things right with God. Nobody's looking around. Friend, this is your day to give your gift back to God. Would you lift up your hands? I want to be saved. I want to be restored. God bless you. Amen. Someone else. Amen. Maybe you've got a son or daughter or a grandchild. You want to pray on their behalf that God would save them or God that would restore them. Would you lift your hand on their behalf? Amen. Look at the hands going up. Amen. Catherine sang that song, Mary wrapped a present to the world. What about if we offered a present to our Lord? God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I give myself. You may lift your hands and open your eyes. You know me, folks. I believe in an altar prayer. I know our time is approaching. But I want to ask everyone, if you can, if you will, would you step out from where you're standing? Can we just come and gather around this altar? Would you do that? You may stand. You may kneel.
Take my heart.
I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry to lead us in a prayer in just a moment. On behalf of all of the requests that were acknowledged. Heart trouble. Oh, humor aside, I know when I said, don't let the Grinch steal your joy. You thought of specific situations, people, difficult things that you're confronted with. Would you come? Would you come?
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
I give myself away.